So, I'm Tom Sturdy. I'm here in the old building, recording on the 10th of July 2015 at 10 to 5. Joining me, I have...
Scott Benowitz.
And could you also state your name, date of birth?
Yeah, okay. Am I too far, too close to the microphone? Am I the right distance?
You're perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Date of birth is May 12, 1972. Okay, I graduated in December 2004. Since then, in terms of work, I've done pretty close to nothing directly related to what I studied. I've just been working as the secretary in my father's office. He's an architect in the suburbs of New York City. So I apologize if you're looking for some direct connection between what I studied and what I'm working on. But there's a little more to it than that. I aspire to become a PhD student back in government studies, so that's where the relevance will come in, hopefully autumn of 2016.
Is that here or is that in the U.S.?
Depends how you choose to define here. Here meaning the United Kingdom, yes. Here meaning LSE. I doubt it. Nothing at all wrong with LSE. We're one of the top in the world, but I have sort of been there, done that, and want to try someplace else.
Have you thought about where else in the UK?
Oh, you'll have to ask me in 12 months. It might be the UK doesn't just mean England, though. I might do it in Scotland.
Perfect. Right. So, thinking about when you were a student, can you tell me what student life was like in terms of lectures and classes and things like that?
Certainly. I mean, I was walking around here earlier today. I'm not one of those people, obviously, who graduated back in the 1950s or 60s where you'd see such a vast world of difference, like some of the people I was talking to upstairs, where back then things were done with pen and paper and computers were this futuristic field. I don't know how, I mean, this what I was seeing here earlier this afternoon doesn't look visually vastly different from what I was seeing 10 years ago or 15 years. It wasn't that long ago. In terms of, I mean, you know, we had our scheduled classes. What for me, I found most, one of the things that I found most interesting at LSE, though, was the public lectures. Because on any given day for free, you could go hear either a retired head of state or retired ambassador or someone very high ranking from a foreign country. Three, four, sometimes even five times a week, talk about all kinds of topics. And there's really only a handful of universities in the entire world that get that kind of prominent public speakers that frequently for free.
So in terms of your student life, in terms of more social aspect, were you involved in societies? What did you do in your spare time?
Me personally, no, I wasn't. I know there were plenty.
If we just start the question again. In terms of society's spare time.
Yeah, okay, no, I know there were plenty, and no, I was, I'm sure some of the people you'll be interviewing were involved. Really wasn't. What spare time I did have, I became a tourist.
And was there anywhere in particular in London you enjoyed?
Yeah, London is a neat city. I guess the accent gives it away. I'm not actually English. London is one of those cities you can live in for 100 years and not see everything. There is a little bit more to that story because I was working on a side project that has nothing to do with LSE, if you want me to mention it. Well, LSE is where I did my master's degree. I also did an undergraduate degree back in the 1990s in my home country, and they have alumni, too, some of whom live in England, and they were doing their oral history alumni archives project too. And back then I was an volunteer interviewer like you, not an interviewee. So I did some traveling on the weekends throughout England and once also to France to meet with people who graduated from that college back in the 1950s and 60s who are now living out here. That took up some of my time, but that has nothing whatsoever to do with LSE or any of the London colleges. Oh, actually, it does, because one of them was also, aside from doing his undergraduate at the same college I did, he was also an LSE graduate. But our interview was about the undergraduate, not the... And he actually did... I don't want to bore you. I don't know how much you want to know. He did become famous because he became head of HM Prison Service. He died about 5 years ago, and if you give me enough time, I'll remember his name. He was famous among, I guess, the Thatcher or Major administrations.
So, well, there's a few questions. The first one being, you mentioned you did an oral history project similar to the one that we're currently conducting. What advice would you
have for
conducting
you?
A similar project?
Ours was very, very different because we sent them questions ahead of time, weeks in advance, to give them time to think about what they do and don't want to say. Even with that, I would ask some questions, get some very honest answers, and then a couple of days later get an email asking someone for privacy purposes to remove the names of former girlfriends or what have you. I also had my audio equipment either lost or stolen. Sometimes in life you can't really tell if something was lost or stolen. I was living in University of London International Hall by Brunswick Square, and they promised us if we left our stuff in the our possessions in the storage room over the summer, it would be there in the autumn when we get back, sign the form. And the construction workers, the story I was given is that they demolished the entire storage room and just put the entire contents into the dumpster along with the whole walls of the room. Whether some construction workers really picked through that and kept it, I don't know. So I had to travel out to somewhere in the suburbs in Surrey and find an audio technician with something so old-fashioned as analog cassettes to make the duplicate copies. But the way it worked, we emailed them a rough list of topics. Then they wrote back to us, told them background information about themselves. Then we devised a very specific list of questions, sent it a few weeks ahead of time. And the other piece of advice is that if you want to do one interview, schedule two. If you want to do two, schedule four. If you want to do four, schedule eight. Because people have husbands, wives, children, grandchildren, and they have that a volunteer project drops to the bottom of. That's the advice I can give, having been in your position 10 years ago.
Perfect. Thank you. I will meander back on to
okay.
More of the questions that I probably should be asking to do with LSE. So the campus, as you say, wasn't much different when you were here. I mean, compared to how it is now,
yeah.
It probably was quite a bit different with all the building work kind of going on. But what were the sort of sights and sounds of the campus that you remember?
Okay, hold on. We have purchased new buildings. Right after I left in 2004, I think in 2005 or 6, we bought the Peacock Theater. Then there's the building just to the north of it. Yes. And then we bought, much more recently, a building that used to be a medical facility on the south side of Lincoln's Inn.
The Cancer Research Center.
That's the one. But other than that, what I saw just walking around here earlier this afternoon could have easily been the early 2000s. There was nothing vastly. It's not like when I talked to these people from the 1950s and 60s where technology was so different and dress was so different that it would be looking like a completely different world. I guess I could also mention I did the summer courses back in July and August of 1996. You know, they still have them as just open enrollment. I'd already finished my bachelor's degree, but hadn't gotten into a master's degree program. And it wasn't a vastly different world. The thing that impresses me, though, about LSE and the other University of London colleges is that just walking through the campus, you'll hear people speaking between 10 and 20 different languages. And once again, there aren't that many places in the world with such a diversity. How's that?
And what about London? Has London changed in that time?
Like I said, I work in my father's office. He's an architect. I know in terms of architecture, London, like just like New York, where I live, is changing because technologies are such that it's easier to put up very tall buildings faster and more cost effectively. So the city's skyline is changing. Though the actual feel of walking around the city, aside from yesterday when the trains were on strike, doesn't feel vastly different from the early 2000s either.
Okay, that's fine. Is there anything else that you would like to...
Yeah, I remember the guy's name I was talking about, if you want. He died in about 5 years ago. It was the late Ian Dunbar, who was a graduate of LSE, who was also a graduate of Reed College, where I did a exchange junior study abroad at Reed College in Portland, Oregon. I was there in the 1990s. He was there in the 1960s. So that was the person who graduated from LSE, became head of HM Prison Service in either the Thatcher or Major administration, just in case you want to. You can't interview him. He's in a cemetery now. You're not going to get a whole lot of information from him anymore.
Okay. I think I'm happy. Hayden, do you have anything else you wanted to ask?
I just wondered if you had any strong memories of any of the professors who taught you, or the style of your classes while you were doing your master's degree here.
Yeah, okay. I can answer that. I remember taking a globalization course with David Held, who I know had to leave because of something to do with Saif al-Qaddafi. Of all the information I get contradicts. I talk to 10 people, I get 10 different stories about what happened. So I don't know. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. And I actually met Saif once, too. He was a PhD student when I was working on my master's degree. I know that's not the question you asked. You asked about professors, but... I think among the students I met, he was probably the one who became the most famous. I think he's in prison now in Libya. Last I heard, he's not going to be at terribly many alumni events. I know there are famous alumni who we never see at alumni events. Do you want me to talk about that? Yeah, I know there was a guy who graduated in the 1980s or 1990s. I don't know if you guys know this. This is the one that surprises people the most. He became a WWF wrestler, or WWE, as they call it. Yeah, in Europe. Yeah, okay, that's the response. He went to Oxford, too. He has a degree in sociology from both Oxford and LSE. I don't remember which was his bachelor's and which was his master's. And the obvious is, what's the connection between that and dressing up in leotards and whacking someone in the back of the head with a breakaway chair? That you're going to have to talk to him about. But what I do know is we keep inviting him to alumni events. He never writes back. I know Monica Lewinsky came to LSE the year after I left, probably the most famous intern in history. So then she went on to design handbags, I think. We invite her to alumni events, but she never writes back either. I'm not... quite that famous. What else can I tell you? If you're really interested in LSE history, I'm in the process of reading the late Lord Dahrendorf's book called LSE 1896 to 1995. I haven't finished the book yet, so I don't comment on books till I actually finish them, because books can take a different... It is, to read half a book is half a story. I know if you talk to some of these people who graduated in the 1960s, because I was just talking to them upstairs, you'll eventually run into people who remember the woman who we today call Queen Anne of Denmark. Back then was Princess Anne. Supposedly there was an aspiring musician named Michael Jagger, and who some of these people remember too. He never comes to alumni events either, but I'm here. Anything else? Yeah, there is one thing that might be relevant. This really vastly depends on what you want to research. When I was a student when I did my bachelor's degree at Reed College in Portland, Oregon, back from 1990 through 1995, we did our research by photocopying journal articles, reading books. When I did my MSc dissertation here, I did not use a single book. All of the research was done from various websites. It was one of the first years you really could do all of your research from online databases. Now, that is only relevant to certain topics. There are some topics that makes no sense at all. You still have to read books and photocopy articles. But the topic that I wrote my MSc dissertation on was the 1997 Ottawa Landmine Convention. And for MSc level, it might not work for PhD, but for an MSc level dissertation, everything I needed was available online. I didn't purchase a single book or article for that. If that's the kind of thing you're looking for, because in the future it may be books, the whole entire concept of a book printed on paper may be old-fashioned in a few years. We don't really know yet.
So did you use the library while you were here then?
Oh, yeah, for my classes, yeah, but not for my MSc dissertation. I guess there's still a walkway connects this building to the one, the new building, is it still called? Or
the
East building now, okay.
Torn down.
And the computer labs, the one that was open 24 hours, used to be in there. And, you know, it wouldn't matter if it was 3 in the afternoon or 3 in the morning. I could log on to the UN website, and then there are links to the UN, all the agencies associated with demining, and all the data I needed was right there. Still had to write it, but it just didn't involve books, was the... And so for my citations, the footnotes, it was a link to a website, which would today by now be a broken link 10 years later.
Right. That's fantastic. So I'm going to terminate the recording.
Okay.